definitions on success or of success or a dime a dozen. We've all read many definitions on what a successful life really looks like. And usually, there are definitions that have to do with attaining to some standard in this life. We say, well, there's a certain path, there's a certain gain, there's a certain ladder. For Christians, we know that success is not what we attain in this life. Not that attaining things in this life is wrong, but that's not how we define what a successful Christian life is all about. It's not our life's goal, we would call it. For Paul himself said, for our citizenship is heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, and verse 7. Know where you go for motivation. And the Lord is, that's the greatest place to go to learn from Him about motivation. How to motivate, overcome. Great odds, great obstacles. This last week I was reading through a book by John Maxwell, Roadmap. I've been reading it for a while, Roadmap to Success. And he talks about the life of Booker T. Washington, Helen Keller. Those are people's life, you'd say. Pretty successful people. Look at them for their lives. Booker T. Washington was born into slavery and was denied access to the resources available at the time to white society. But he never let that prevent him from doing his potential. He founded the Tuskegee Institute and the National Black Business League. He went on to say, and I like that mission of success, I have learned success to be measured so much by the sin of his life, but not as well trying to succeed. I admire those kind of lives, those people that have gone through great things in their life and have overcome. In Scripture, we find this kind of a person that had attained, I believe, success in this life and the life to come in the Apostle Paul. And I want us to spend some time in Philippians chapter 3. We're going to spend this morning focusing on what Paul has to say in chapter 3 of Philippians. And I believe Paul attained success in this life, in the times that he lived in. As a Jew, we know Paul was a man who attained great success. But we also know that after he became a Christian, there was something that was far more important to Paul. Now, as you look in Philippians, Paul was dealing probably with the same problem he had always dealt with. Those Judaizing teachers, those that would come along and say, fine, you're preaching this gospel, but you need to remember that circumcision is important, that works of the law is important. And Paul says, no, I've been down that path. I was successful in that path, beyond many of my countrymen. But he says, that's not where it's at. That's not where you find success in the eyes of God. Paul will talk about the goal of life in chapter 3. So if you want to know what our goal should be, Paul will bring that up in this chapter. Notice verse 4. Paul says, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Notice what he says. I was circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. He knew his tribe. He knew his heritage. He knew where he came from. A Hebrew of Hebrews. In other words, I was born a Hebrew. As to the law, I was a Pharisee, the doctors of the law. As to zeal, I was a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, which is in the law, I was found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, Paul says, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ Jesus. So we see here Paul has reached a high level in Judaism as a Jew of the successful life. But Paul will go on and say, listen, it doesn't compare to what we have now gained in Christ Jesus. There really is no comparison. Nothing compares, Paul will say, to that of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice what he says in verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those are these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing, that is, above all, superior, the surpassing value of knowing, this is relationally, knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, and may be found in Him not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed, Paul says, to His death. Have you ever prayed that before? If you ever want to challenge yourself, get to the point where you will pray what Paul says here. Lord, I want to know You. I want to know the power of Your resurrection, and I want to share in Your suffering. That's what Paul's saying here. There's nothing like it. He says, verse 11, in order that I may attain to what? To the resurrection from the dead. That is our hope. We talked about that in our adult Bible class this morning. He says, knowing Christ is the superior thing, that he wants to know Him. You see, to Paul, success is something completely different than that which we attain in this life. Success is attained in the next life. Paul will bring that to our minds. Notice verse 12. And I want to do this. I want to focus on verses 12 through 14 for the rest of this morning's lesson. Listen to what Paul says. We're thinking success. We're thinking attaining to the goal. Not that I have already obtained it, Paul says, or have already become perfect. But I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Christ laid hold of Paul first, didn't he? On the road to Damascus, grace was presented to the apostle. Well, he wasn't the apostle at that. But grace was presented to Saul of Tarsus. He received that. He was laid hold of by Christ. And he now spends every bit of his energy and time and life to lay hold of Christ. Brethren, verse 13, he says, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, and I love this section of Scripture, Paul is saying, I want to know Jesus with everything I got. I want to know Him so badly. But he says also, you'll see, I'm not there. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't attained to it. I'm striving for it. It's kind of always out in front of me. The more I reach, I still see it a little ways ahead of me. But I'm not there yet. And Paul says that Paul is implying the goal is his, but also that it should be ours. To strive with all of our being to know Christ and live with Him in eternity. That's the goal. Paul tells us here how to reach for the goal. And this is how he reached for the goal. And I've got 3 points that I want to leave with you. Number one, if you are going to reach the goal, really any goal, I think we would in all of this, but especially this goal that we're talking about, attaining to eternal life, knowing Christ, you have to improve. If you are going to reach the goal, you must improve. You can't stay where you're at. That's what Paul is saying. Paul even says that of himself, that I'm trying to gain Christ. I'm not perfect there. I'm not perfected yet, but I'm striving for it with everything I have. The terminology that Paul uses is that of a Christian, of an athlete. Like the Christian is the athlete of Christ. Paul, I think, liked athletics. I think he liked sporting events because several times he brings this up. And the heart of what he's saying here is that thought or that idea. And if anybody, wouldn't you acknowledge that if anybody had ever reached Christ, that if anybody attained success for Christ, we would say, that's the Apostle Paul. That was a guy who imitated Christ. That was a guy who died for Christ Jesus. But he said, you know what? I'm not there yet. I haven't attained it yet, he actually says. I have not laid hold of it yet. So Paul says, I'm improving. And if you're going to reach the goal, you must improve. You can't stay where you're at, church. You just can't. That's why Paul talks about a race, a running, a fight. It's not over till it's over. You can't stop and say, well, I'm where I need to be. You're never where you need to be. That's the attitude we need to have as God's people. I remember as kids when we were playing sports, if we weren't doing our best, the coach would sometimes yell at us and say, quit loafing. I don't know where they get this terminology, loafing, but basically you're not putting all your effort into it. You're being lazy, they were saying. You're not improving. You're not going to improve with that attitude. Life isn't over and you haven't finished your run. Sometimes when it's really cold out, like it's been the last few weeks, my kids will come to me, Cameron will come to me, and they want to do some exercise. Well, can't go outside, so I'll put them through some exercise in the house, and I have a blast with it. It's a lot of fun. They come to me. I don't force them to do this, okay? So Cameron and Connor came to me 2 weeks ago, and they wanted to do some exercise. They were bored. So I had them going, and they're panting away, and Cameron's breathing heavy. And I said to him, I said, Cameron, do you hear the voice? And he said, yeah, I hear the voice. I said, what is it saying? He says, it's telling me to stop. I said, good, don't listen to the voice. That's the idea here. Paul is saying, listen, there is always something in life telling you to stop. There is always something saying, you don't need to do anymore. You don't need to press it anymore. You're fine where you're at. Don't listen to the voice. Paul's saying, listen, if you want to reach the goal, you must improve. Improve. But remember, you'll never reach Christ. You'll never reach Christ. That's going to come when we're with Christ. That's going to come when Christ Jesus comes back. So you have to improve. Secondly, Paul said, and this is very, very critical, you must concentrate. Improve, concentrate. It's very easy to get distracted, isn't it, church? There are so many things that are trying to get us to distract us, and we don't concentrate on the goal. Barclay says this, reaching forward as Paul presents it here is very vivid. It's used for a racer going hard for the tape. Get that in your mind. A racer or a runner who's going hard for the tape. It describes him with eyes for nothing but the goal. It describes the man who's going flat out for the finish. I like what Avon Malone once said. He said it suggests intensity of spiritual effort. That's what it means to love God with our all, doesn't it? With all of our might, with all of our strength, with all of our minds. Intensity of spiritual effort. Paul, the apostle, had a one-track mind, didn't he? He had what we call singularity of purpose. He was not a jack-of-all-trades, as we call it, master of none. He was striving to be the master of one, and that is Jesus. And everything that he had, that was his concentration. He actually says that I reach for it, verse 14, that I press for it. I press towards the goal, and there was nothing more important to Paul. Wordsworth said, we lay waste our powers, not only because the world is too much with us, but because a single clearly defined purpose is not ours. I want you to think about that this morning. Do you have a clearly defined purpose in your life? Could you leave here today saying, this is my clearly defined purpose? That I want to know Christ, and I want others to know Christ. That's it. Our clearly defined purpose. And we have to have that in our minds. So to reach the goal, we have to improve, number one. Number two, we have to concentrate. Number three, Paul says, we have to forget. That's a tough one. We have to forget. John Schindler, a medical doctor, once said, there's no future in digging up the past. But what do we do often? We don't forget the past, do we? And it hinders us from striving and reaching for the goal. Nothing paralyzes the power of the Christian life, I think, any more than our past, if we let it. Nothing. I like what Cyrus Curtis, who once owned the Saturday Evening Post, did. He put a sign over his office door that said, yesterday ended last night. That's a good one. It's over. You can't do anything about what has been. And Paul says, notice, he says in verse 13, halfway through, but this one thing I do. He doesn't say this many things that I do. This one thing that I do. And he says, forgetting, so there's the singularity of purpose. Then he says, forgetting what lies behind and reaching for what lies ahead. What is Paul saying here? Is Paul saying, I now have forgotten everything in the past. I don't remember it anymore. Well, that can't be. Because earlier in chapter 3, he talked about his past. He talked about what he attained in Judaism, in that world, in that life. But it's different now. You see, the point is that Paul is bringing out is that his past does not occupy his thinking. His past isn't his focus. And that's the thought. That's the key. It's not that he didn't have the ability to remember it anymore. He just didn't dwell on it anymore. Anybody have any things in their past? Now, Paul's was different. But Paul set out to murder Christians. We know that story, don't we? None of us have done that, but we've got some monsters, don't we? I don't think I'm the only one here with the monsters in our past. Those things that creep up at times, sometimes they creep up more often than others, and it's like a monster that just wants to feed. And guess what? We can feed them. We can choose to think on that. We can choose to dwell on that and to think on it, and pretty soon, guess what? It's leading our life. It's controlling our life. Paul says, one thing I do is forgetting those things and reaching for that, what is ahead. Let that occupy your thinking. You see, when that's there, it replaces this stuff back here. We can't do anything about that. And Paul had told us that the mind in Romans, didn't he say, the mind that is set on the flesh is death, but the mind that is set on the spirit is life and peace. We've got to set our minds, he says, on those things, because what we feed leads our lives. If I'm feeding on that past, on the flesh, it's going to lead my life. So Paul leaves us with those three things on how to reach the goal. Number one, improve. That's growth, isn't it? We're constantly striving to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ that never ends. Number two, we must concentrate. And number three, we must forget. Now, in closing, let me leave with you three realizations from Paul. These are some things that I observed as I was going through it, and it fits in. It's just another way of looking at what has already been said. But number one, you will notice Paul ran with the realization that the race was never over. Don't ever run thinking, now I can stop, the race is over. Keep running. That's what Paul's saying. Number two, Paul ran with the realization that the prize was after life's finish line and not before. When you ran in those races as a young man or a young woman, you didn't receive the ribbon or the trophy or the prize until after you had crossed the tape, not before. So don't quit. Keep running, don't quit. And thirdly, Paul ran with the realization that he had to reach and had to press. In other words, this wasn't going to be easy. I got to keep on striving. Keep on keeping on. Go to chapter 3 of Philippians. Look at verse 20 again. And verse 21, and then we'll close. Paul said, for our citizenship is in heaven. Remember, it's not here, church. From which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. He's saying, listen, Christ Jesus is coming back one day. And as his people, we look forward to that moment in which we're going to be raised from the tombs and we're going to receive new bodies. This isn't it. This isn't all we have. That's the hope of the resurrection that we have in Christ Jesus. And he says, you, that we will be in his very likeness. And that's what we strive for. That's what we keep reaching for. Reach for the goal today. Reach for the goal this week. That's this morning's lesson, and Tyler's going to lead us in the invitation song. And if we can help you reach, we can help encourage you. We can help you put on a Jesus of baptism this morning. This is that opportunity. We're here for you. We want to help you in the Lord. Will you come as we stand, as we sing the invitation?